last week, Pastor John began us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about spiritual gifts and that these gifts come together to make up the body of Christ, that there is no one gift more important than the other. There was a great list of gifts in chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. Those gifts are not in any particular order. One is not more important than the other. I want you to hold on to that. But each gift is needed to make the body a whole. The nose is not more important than my foot, than my elbow, than my hand. I need all of those parts in order to function as God created me on purpose for a purpose. Our spiritual gifts answer the question of what should I do? What should I do? What do I do best? And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking more and more about spiritual gifts. We're putting together a little tool to help you with a few questions that you can answer and ponder upon to help you identify what perhaps God, the gift is that God has given you. And so we'll be doing that in the next few weeks. Today I want us to go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 11. So if you've got your Bible, open it up, and we're going to take a look at that. Or if you don't have your Bible, there's one in the pew rack ahead of you, or it's in your bulletin as well, because we're going to have a little Bible lesson today. And I'm going to do some digging here. I love to do that. So here we have Paul writing to the people in Corinth. And you know, this first century, Paul's the apostle to the people that were non-believers. And I'll tell you, Corinth is the armpit of the, it's just, the lifestyle is horrible. You think of the worst perversion, it is going on full blown. It's a crossroads of trade. It's a very busy city. I mean, it's just ick. And new believers of Jesus, you know, Paul says, you're a follower of Jesus. Your life's supposed to look differently than the ick around you. It's supposed to look differently, and that's hard. But you have been given a gift. You have been endowed with a special ability that's going to enable you to shine your light in a dark place. You've been given a passion. You've been given a personality. So let's see what Paul writes. I think this could be a letter to the Des Moinians. Today. Same thing today. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Manifestation in that Greek means to be made clear. And that word has an aspect that it's a continual process. It's going on and on. It's just that, okay, yeah, you made it clear on December 4th, 1952, and that's it. Or 1968 or whatever. No, it's a continual process. And it's given by the Spirit. Why? Is it for my own personal good, my own gain? No, the common good of the church, the body of Christ. To one there is given through the Spirit. Oh, I think I skipped a verse, didn't I? I got to go back to 4. This is the whole thing. Oh, rewind. Go back to verse 4. There are different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, and it's that service that I want to talk about as being where you serve. That's going to be your passion. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God. So there's different kinds of styles that we do things, the how. But the same God works all of them in all men, in all people. Now, we've got spiritual gifts, and we're going to see they were manifested, made clear by the Spirit for the common good. And there's lots of them. We learned about them last week. There's the gift of teaching and apostleship and miracles and discernment and administration and tons of gifts. And these lists that show up over and over throughout the New Testament of the gifts, I want you to know they're not identical. And they're not listing them, as I said, in order or rating of importance. But the thing that is common about all of them is that they're given as a directive. That we are commanded to know and use our spiritual gift for the good of the body. Yeah. We were created on purpose for a purpose, for God's purpose, for His mission. All right, verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To the another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. Does anybody see a theme here? When you see a phrase repeated in your scripture, it means red light, ding, 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 important, pay attention. What is the theme that's in these right here? What word? Through the same Spirit. Through the same Spirit. We're all given a gift. We're all given passion. We're all given styles. Through the same Spirit. And this is given, this verb up there in verse 7. It is a what tense of a verb, English majors? It's present tense, right? Is given. It's not you were given it once and not again. Is given over and over and again. This implies a continual giving. And you were given a gift and a passion and a style at age 16. And maybe at age 26, it might look a little different. And at age 36 and 46 and 66, it changes. The mix changes. But who gives it and the purpose for it never changes. Another thing about this list that we look, who is it given to? Is it just given to certain people? People who go to seminary. People who are over 5 feet tall. People who wear glasses. People who are women. People who are men. People who are from Ireland. No. It's given, the gift, passion, style, given to all people. There is no gender specifications. There are no age specifications. There are no nationality specifications. All men, all people. That's important to know. So we're going to talk today about the passion, where we're called, where we serve best, and our personality, how that we serve best, and of course, all given by God. First of all, spiritual gifts. I mentioned that we're going to be talking more about this in the weeks ahead. They're listed. I read a bunch last week. Pastor John read some. They are what you do, and when you do it, you feel competent. Because God equips us to do what he has called us to do. He's not going to send us out on a mission without the proper tools. Now, one of the spiritual gifts that I have is one of hospitality. You know, and you think, what's that? You know, who cares? You come to my house for a party, I got napkins that match the plates, and I have a centerpiece of something on the table, and I have this, and I have that, and, you know, and I've got candles I light in the bathroom, and I've got them in the family room, and I just love to have people over. I do. Some of you have been to my house. I do. I love it to have people over. I have this gift of hospitality. And when I'm around people, I just get energized. I just love it. To tell you about one party I had, it was the 4th of July, and our daughter was in high school at the time, and a whole bunch of her friends came over to our house. And we had this barbecue in the backyard. Our backyard's about as big as half, you know, this little platform here. And we had about 60 people, and they're playing volleyball, and my husband's cooking burgers and brats, and everybody brought something. And the fireworks in West Des Moines go right off. I could watch them from our backyard. It was just the best party in the world. It was just great. And we had all these leftovers. We had leftover burgers, brats, some baked beans, you know, your typical summer fare. So the next day, I look at my husband, Mark. I said, Mark, we've got leftovers. We can have another party today. And my husband, I love you, dear, he looked at me like I was totally insane. Because you see, for he's been wired in a way that he works best if you give him a task. You know, he changes all the light bulbs way up high because he's one of the few people we have that's not afraid of heights. So any of these high light bulbs, that's Mark's job. He changes the light bulbs. He can come and he can work and do something with one person for 4 hours. It's great. So over the course of our marriage, I've had to learn that I can only plan one fun thing on the weekend. Okay? And he knows that if I don't get around to planning it, he better plan one fun thing where there's people involved because we're different. But yeah, we get energized in different ways. My passion. What's your passion? Well, your passion is again, kind of where you are. And people have different passions. You know, maybe you're more interested in a cause. You're the environment. Cleaning up Iowa rivers is just your passion. So you you can't go to sleep at night because you're thinking about, I want to call all my friends and tell them about this event that we're going to learn about how we can clean up Iowa rivers. And it's just your passion, this cause. Or maybe you're so excited about changing light bulbs because you have this one task that when you get that task done, you can celebrate. You know, maybe you're more relational. And you do get energized by people. You have passion indicators. And just like when Pastor John last week mentioned that we're often too busy to discover or to even notice our spiritual gifts or to learn about, so it is with our passion and personality. An indicator of your passion might be something happen along this line. You're in conversation with someone. You're politely nodding your head. And, you know, you're thinking about everything else that you need to do, and you wish you were somewhere else, but you're giving the, like this. And all of a sudden, that person changes the subject into something that perks you up, that your ears kind of just all of a sudden, oh, I hear this, and your voice goes up, and your tone of voice changes, and you talk faster, and you get more animated, and you use your arms, and you lean into that person, and it's 12:30 at night, and you want to talk more. That's your passion. What is it? Yeah. Or maybe you read books. Have you ever looked at the subject of your books? Could be good, could be not so good. But what's where your interests? That can indicate your passion. You know, if you'd like, look at the repetitive themes in your life. That can help too. And if you can't see anything and you don't know what am I willing to stay up all night and talk about, and you don't know, pray about it, or ask a friend. What do you see in me? What do you see in me? Yeah, those passions are so important. We've got roadblocks all the time to using our passions. Some of them are from our culture and the surrounding values we live in. One of my other gifts is teaching. I love to get my Bible, like I got like every edition there is on the table out from me, and I got this commentary and this word and this, and I'm just counting how many times the same word is used, and if it's a present tense or past tense. And I cannot prepare for a class before I go to bed because I'll just be awake. All right? I am so glad to be at Zion because in some places, my gender would not allow me to use my gift to all of you. It would allow me to use it only to half of you, you women, the women. I could not be up here teaching to you gentlemen. And I don't read that. You know, so I'm so glad the surrounding values can prevent you from using your gift, using your passion. So, you know, watch that. Maybe you're a people pleaser. And oh, I can't do that because I might have, oh, if I did that, then it would upset my family. Oh, if I did that, no, I just, oh, stop it. God created you on purpose for a purpose. Yeah. And if you're following it and using it for the right purpose, it will be in line with where God has you. A lot of people don't like the word passion. Well, here's another word. How about vision? How about dream? How about the burden of your heart that compels you to do something, to work with certain group of people, to work for a certain cause? You just cannot not do that. That's your passion. Your personality answers the how you best serve. And you know, this is kind of, we've all taken some kind of personality test profiles in our lives and throughout school. I was in high school, all the personality profiles that, and even for professional work, said I should be a camp director. Now I'll tell you why. When I'm empty, when I'm drained, when I have just had sometimes too much of too many people, because that does happen. When I go out into nature, and we live across the street from the Raccoon River, there's a little 3-mile path around there, and I walk that. And I love to hear the crunch of the gravel under my feet. I love to watch the changes of the foliage through the seasons. I love to see the birds that come land on the lake. I love to hear that, you know, every once in a while I'll see a deer. Man, and I'll come back, and I'm just, my tank has been refilled. You know, I went to camps all the time when I was a little kid. And then we got a camper. And I think some of our happiest memories as a family is when we were out using that camper. Mark and I dream about having a camper again. Yeah. So yeah, camp director. Well, the director part, I'm not sure, but you know. But the camp part, it is me. Those assessments did show what I love. I'm looking at today, and it's almost like, oh, come on, let's see. Let's hurry up and get done. Preach short, because you want to get out. You know, no, but I do. I just get out in a day like this, and it just fills my tank up. It is. It just does. I have this. It is. Am I people-oriented? Am I task-oriented? Am I structured? Am I unstructured? You know, not being one or the other is not better than the other. It isn't. But it's how God has made you. Now, when you understand your style, for example, I'd probably say I'm a little bit unstructured and I'm people-oriented. So that means that I when I'm doing a task, I shouldn't pay attention to details because, you know, it's just not me. No. Your personality, your style, that answers how you should do something or why our behavior is such. It does not excuse it. So when I'm planning something and I've got to get down to the nitty-nitty details, and you know, I really don't like that. So let's just go by the seat of our pants, go with the flow. No, sometimes you really need those details. But here's how it works. Years ago in a ministry I was involved with, I was a dreamer. I could dream and blah, blah, blah. And this gal came alongside me, and she was my right hand, and she could think of the details and have them done before I even knew what they were. We made a great pair. Because and she, bing, 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 bing. I didn't even know I needed those things. And she'd already have taken care of it. So yeah, it works together. I want to invite Mark Weiland up here. He's someone who has discovered his spiritual gifts, his passion, and his personality, and how it's changed his life. Now, Mark, I want to tell a little bit about him. He is, we're not quite wired the same, are we, Mark? No. Mark told me at the last service, if he went to a party once a month, that would be perfectly all right. Yeah. You know, and he works for Wells Fargo. What do? You do numbers.
Yeah, underwriting.
Oh, can you imagine? Oh, God bless you. God bless you, you know? And, yeah. But, Mark, what if you and I were talking, and, you know, I'm talking about something, and you're just nodding off, and then all of a sudden I change the subject, and you perk up, and you become animated, and you could talk for hours. What would that be?
I think like the homeless, the kind of the plight of the homeless and refugees.
Okay.
I think God's kind of imparted something on my heart about just people in just kind of very grave and kind of dire situations where, I mean, just even a little change or a little setback can be kind of catastrophic. So that's kind of what I get.
How did that happen? Were you always interested in being involved with the homeless or refugees? Or, I mean, you've been doing this for 25 million years?
Yeah,
or?
No, really not interested at all. But you know, it's the biblical mandate to kind of go and to serve those less fortunate. And, you know, and so, you know, I love God, and so I want to please him. And so so I kind of stepped out, reaching out to some refugees, and then also getting involved with the homeless ministry, and God kind of just kind of made it very personal, you know, with the homeless outreach.
How did that happen? What was that like?
Well, with the homeless outreach, we just kind of ran across a woman that was kind of waiting to basically spend the night in a homeless shelter. And she looked just like my mom. But I mean, just with just despair in her face, and it just broke my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about, you know, my mom, you know, spending the night in a homeless shelter. And then with, you know, refugees, you know, kind of, I guess I'm kind of part of the family with, mm-hmm. You know, Kareem and his family. And so it's just, you know, really kind of changes my, yeah. my worldview.
Yeah. It's amazing. You're working with people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Homeless people, refugees. You're not really a people person.
No, that's not my strength at all.
Yeah.
No.
But it's your passion.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a cause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. How do you see God working through you to meet His purpose?
Working through me. I think one of the big things is kind of intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, just realizing that, you know, a lot of times the need is so huge and just so overwhelming. You're like, how can I possibly, you know, do anything? So then you call upon the Holy Spirit, because we serve a big mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's really fundamentally changed my prayer life,
yeah.
Because I can't do anything. And then, you know, stepping out just even into situations that I'm not comfortable with, you know, trying to reach out to people, which, you know, kind of freaks me out. But then just calling on God to kind of make it work.
What do you do on Wednesday nights here? Because you're doing something there that
yes.
has been a stretch for you as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, all last year, I kind of resisted doing the Wednesday night, you know, helping with the tutoring the kids. Because I'm like, you know, I'm not, I don't have kids. I'm not
yeah.
comfortable. I mean, they're crazy.
Yeah.
And
they smell.
Yeah.
They smell sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
like, I don't, you know, yeah. speak English. But, you know, God kind of put it on my heart, you know, you need to do that. And so... So got partnered up with Dave and kind of helping with his group and, you know, just kind of fell in love with the kids. And
yeah.
I think, and actually part of it was a conversation with you, with a little boy who was causing problems. And there was some question as to whether or not to bring him back. And you're like, well, we kind of have to bring him back because otherwise he's going to end up in a gang.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that kind of hits you right here. You kind of see the urgency and the need. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're not even a people person in your daytime,
no.
you know, but here you are working with people, and I really think you've been given these gifts of intercessory prayer, of teaching, of compassion
mm-hmm.
with your
yes.
work for the homeless.
Yes.
It allows you to be confident, to be competent, and to, you know, to be motivated to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, and thank you. God bless you for stepping out of the box
mm-hmm.
and that nudging, you're answering His call. Because you were created on purpose for a purpose.
Amen.
So, yeah. Let's thank Mark. All right. So why do I need to know about my spiritual gift? Why do I need to try to discover my passion and my style? Because God created you on purpose for a purpose. And He's given each one of us a unique combination of spiritual gifts, a passion, and a personality or style. Each one of us. And we need to bring those together to make the body of Christ visible to the world around us today. Because of what God has done for us, and we could go on, couldn't we? He's given us His Son on a cross. That restored our relationship with Him and with each other for eternity. Because God loves us so much, therefore, we respond as the church to organize, to become effective around how God has wired each one of us with this unique combination of gifts and passion and personality. And then we're called to step out, like Mark did. Step out of our comfort zone many times to serve on purpose. Because it's God's purpose that He calls us to serve. Amen. Another gift we've been given is a gift to be remembered, rejoined with Jesus as we celebrate communion today. Here at Zion, if you're a believer, you're welcome at the table. And we have three different ways to receive communion. We're going to talk about that first. You can come along here. Hey, don't tell Pastor John. But Brent and I forgot to put the railing back in. Shh, he's gone. You know, And it is so, you know, if you don't want to kneel down, stand up. But if you need to want to just stand here and receive communion and take some time and pray, and nobody's going to rush you or anything like that, over here we'll have another station set up and you can walk through and receive communion as you do. Or if you'd like to commune as a family, we have a table set up over on your right side of the room, and you can commune that way as well. So with those instructions, would you please stand, and let's get our hearts and minds prepared to receive this gift. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." He also told us to pray, and he taught us a prayer. So let's pray that together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you're helping with communion, would you please come forward? And there are no ushers. You may be seated and come and receive this gift when the Spirit moves you. And they have the spiritual gift of craftsmanship, putting the railing back up. God bless them.